This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim ma ba'd. Al-yawm 24 min shahri Rabi al-awwal 1445 al-muwafiq li 10 من شهر أكتوبر 2023 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك رياض الصالحين. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. Last week we talked about the hadith of Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam al-Sulami when he narrated a story where he met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he prayed with him in the masjid. And when somebody sneezed next to him, Muawiyah said to him, Yarhamukallah. And people found this to be very strange, and it is strange because this is talking in the prayer. So after he finished the prayer, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not blame him, but he explained to him what to do and the nature of the prayer. And we have mentioned that this is a manhaj, Rabbani. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the ummah how to deal with people, regardless of their nature. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not equate everyone. You know, the way he deals with the people in Medina is different from the way he deals with Bedouins. When he realized that a person doesn't know, or he's coming from the Badia, the treatment is going to be different. Yeah, they need more leniency, more tolerant than those people who are in the city. Because somebody who lives in the city is supposed to be educated. He's supposed to be upon those manners that would take him away from doing things that are not appropriate. And that's how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam managed to gain the heart of everyone. So this man, Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam al-Sulami, he said, Wallahi, I have never met a teacher like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as I always mention, the Shabab and the Du'at, we really need to adopt this manhaj. Yeah, you're upon the truth, bi-ithnillahi azza wa jal, and what you're saying is correct. But what matters is how you convey that message to others. It's really, really important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He advises us to and command us to give the da'wah to the people, He says, bil-hikmah wal-mu'idhati al-hasana. He says you should give nasiha with hikmah, wisdom. You colliding with people unnecessarily is not going to bring benefit. So you have to learn from the Prophet ﷺ, the da'wah itself, the knowledge, and how to pass the da'wah to the people. It should always be your purpose and your aim, your goal, how to convince the person that I'm speaking to. Not how to inform him about the information, because probably he got it before you. Before you meet him, he already know what you're going to be talking about, but your predecessors did not manage to convince him. You're supposed to use other method, and the best of the method, wallahi, is the method of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He succeeded, never failed in the da'wah. Even the top criminals, when they reached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they cooled down. Many of them, when they go back to their own friends, you know, those friends, they have to do a lot to convince them to disagree with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Get it? It was gentle, soft, tolerant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْ فَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If you're to be harsh, unapproachable, somebody that nobody can approach, people are going to run away from you. And who is losing? Antal khasir. Because anybody who accepts Islam from you, anybody who became righteous and accept the guidance from you, you know, whatever he did after that guidance, you will get the same credit also he is getting. So if you don't use the correct way, you know, to invite people, you know, you don't use the correct way and you lost that person, who is losing? You lose it. So we have to understand this, you know, that my purpose is to do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to guide. And that's why this intensive amount of mercy should emerge in your heart. Because if you don't show mercy to those whom you are inviting, trust me, your patience with them is going to be little. Yeah. Your patience with them is going to be the minimum. But if you pity them, you don't want to see them being punished. You remember that if they don't listen, probably they will end up going to get into trouble with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That will help you to be motivated, inshallah, and intensify your effort to make sure that they change and they accept the truth. And one additional benefit, you know, of approaching the community in a nice way is what is mentioned by Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam in the hadith. He said after that, when he sees that nice and kind treatment from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what did he start doing? He started telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam things that the community was busy with, which are against Islam. And he, wallah, this is how it is. If the community feels, you know, that you are approachable and you are kind and you're looking for good for them, and they try to see the manifestation of kindness and good manners in you, trust me, they will always come to you to inform you about their mashakin, looking for the solution. Half of the job is going to be done for you. You don't need to go and search and see what exactly the community needs. They will bring them to you. And whatever you say is going to be heard by them. Even those people who criticize you, but at the same time, they respect you. So these are some of the benefits and the virtues of following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the method when giving the da'wah. The next hadith, Al-Irbad ibn Sariyah said, وَعَظَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَوْعِظَةً وَجِلَتْ مِنْهَا الْقُلُوبُ وَذَرَفَتْ مِنْهَا الْعُيُونَ. You know, this hadith, we talk about it earlier, but Irbad ibn Sariyah, for those who are not around, he said there was a time where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave us a very powerful nasiha. وَجِلَتْ مِنْهَا الْقُلُوبُ وَذَرَفَتْ مِنْهَا الْعُيُونَ. People cry, you know, their heart were shook because of that. A very powerful mawida. And that was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When he speaks about these serious matters, you can trace that from his face and from his action, you know. The body action, you can trace that, yes, this is a very serious matter. The companion said sometimes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he speaks about some of the matters, they will start to be afraid of the mimbar not being able to stand the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They will think that he's going to fall down. Yeah, because of the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam moves and he raises up his voice. And his eyes sometimes turn into red. Especially when he talks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Alameen. The hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari was the best evidence in this regard. He says, قَامَ فِينَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِخَمْسِ كَلِمَاتِ. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم stood up, you know, in front of us to give us nasiha, and he mentioned five sentences. Subhanallah, about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each and every one of them has the power, the capacity to bring a person closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to increase your iman. The first thing he started with, he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنَامُ وَلَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَنْ يَنَامُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not sleep. And it is inappropriate for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to sleep. لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't sleep. Because sleep is the result of what? Weariness and fatigue and physical weaknesses. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no way for the deficiency to be attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا. Allah says, right? فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He created the heavens and the earth and anything that is between the heavens and the earth in 6 days. قَالَ وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ. Fatigue or weariness or tiredness never affected us. This is contrary to the claim by the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Jews, when they say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them, fi sittati ayyamin, and then he rested on the day number 7. Qatalahumullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, innama amruhu idha arada shay'an an yaqula lahu kun fayakun. No matter how much big you see something, uqsimu billah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, you just have to say to it, be, and it is. This is Allah fa'alu lima yurid. That's why he created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. It doesn't mean that he needs those 6 days to do that. No. Allah knows the wisdom and the reason why he did it in that way. But he told us in many places that his ability, his power is beyond our imagination and comprehension. And whatever he wants to do, he just have to say, be, and it is. It has to take place in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to take place. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to bring back the iman, you know, in the heart of the companions. So he talked about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that they will have a bigger reflection they should be having. He says, "Inna Allah la yanam." When somebody doesn't sleep, it shows power. And it's against the human nature. You don't sleep, that means you have problem in your health. The body needs to rest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need rest. يَسْأَلُهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي الشَّأْنِ. If you want to understand this correctly, try to give, you know, to get the right estimate of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here with us on earth. Forget about the angels. Now just talk about the ants, the insects, and human beings, you know. Forget about the jinns. Just the insects, human beings, and fish, and birds. How many you think do we have? It's a waste of time for somebody to sit down and calculate. You know, in your house, go and see the ants that visited you. You know, try to count how many ants are getting inside your house. You spent your life counting. Imagine each and every one of these creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every single day is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about their need. And Allah is taking care of each and every one of them. Each and every one of them. Allah knows where exactly each and every one of them is and what exactly is it doing and how much it needs and what it needs and what exactly is going concerning that particular insect. Subhanallah. This is the one that we are dealing with. He says, "Inna Allah la yanam wa la yanbaghi lahu an yanam." You will like this reminders brings iman. And you know that if you are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody can win against you. Yeah, it helps a believer to remember this, that as long as you're with Allah, you should raise up your head. Not to be arrogant, but relax. And you, Allah, nobody can fight you and win. If Allah stands for you, you have to win. كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنَامُ وَلَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَنْ يَنَامُ قَيُّومُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah is the caretaker of the heavens and the earth. And He is the only one who has this sifa. That's why many scholars mention that this is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-A'zam, Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyu. Referring to the hadith that says, Ismullah Al-A'zam is the one that is found in 3 surahs. Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Al-Imran, Surah Al-Taha. Surah Al-Baqarah, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyu. Surah Al-Imran, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum, the first part of it. And Surah Taha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَانَتِ الْوُجُوهُ لِلْحَيِّ الْقَيُّمُ. Allah loved this name. Ibn Qayyim has a very nice explanation on this name. It says almost every other name is supporting this name. This name contains almost every other name. All of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are so perfect. This one is very unique. Because he is Al-Hayy. One of the dua the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do is to say, "Wal jinnu wal insi yamutu." Because everyone is going to die. And there used to be a time where there is nobody actually, there was nobody except Allah in existence. And there's going to be a time where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take off the life and he will remain. Kullu man alayha fan wa yabqa wajhu rabbika dhul jalali wal ikram. So he says, قَيُّمُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, meaning whoever you find on earth is in need of the support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every single second. You Allah, there is no time where somebody can claim that he doesn't need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah is to withdraw from supporting you for a moment, you cannot survive. He's the only one who is like that. He doesn't need anyone, and everyone needs him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qa'imun ala kulli nafsin bima kasabat. In the last three surahs, the first one, Qul huwallahu ahad, Allahu as-samad. As-samad means as-sayyidu alladhi tasmudu ilayhi al-khala'iqu kulluha fi jami' hajatiha. The one that all of the creations are always going back to him in their need. He has to approve that need to reach you, then you can get it. In the dua, we say, la mani'a lima a'tayt wa la mu'tiya lima mana'at. It's absolutely true. If Allah says you will not get, you will never get. But if Allah said you will get, trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, there is no power and ability on earth to stop you from getting it. Imagine if you have this iman. You relax, you know that your rizq is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many times we disobey Allah intentionally? Intentionally. We go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of the fear of losing what we are doing if we don't go against Allah. How many times? A lot. But if you remember that the rizq is in the hand of Allah, that if you lose something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah promised to replace it with the best. And if you remember that the one who controls the rizq is Allah, you relax. The Prophet ﷺ has a very beautiful mention, which I will share with you. He says, "Inna ruha al-Qudsi nafatha fi ru'i an lan tamuta nafsun hatta tastakmila rizqaha." Please do remember this hadith all the time. Wallah, it brings comfort to the heart. He says, Jibreel came to me. From who? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and informed me that no soul will leave this life, nobody will die before he complete that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed upon him. Alhamdulillah. If Allah says you will get this amount, you will get it before you die. Not only you will get it, you have to get it before death. The Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be wrong at all. And no matter what, وَلَوْ قَامَتِ السَّمَوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ, if the heavens and the earth and the jinns and the human beings and the animals and everyone, if they're going to stand before you, between you and that risk, wallahi, it has to reach you. أَقْسِمُ بِاللَّهِ. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this is yours, it must come to you. So if this is the case, then why do I worry? Do we worry? Yes, we always worry. But it doesn't mean you should stay home and don't put effort. No. We have other nusus also that are supposed to be placed in the issue. You put effort. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ihris ala ma yanfa'uka wasta'in billah wa la ta'ajaz." Always be very productive and active in doing that which benefits you. That means be productive in terms of earning halal. Don't be lazy, the Prophet. He says, "Wala ta'jaz." Don't be lazy. Try and work for it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will support you. Work for it. But you have to know that which is written for you will never miss you. لَن تَمُوتَ نَفْسٌ حَتَّى تَسْتَقْبِلَ رِزْقَهَا. And then if this is the case, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said the following. He said, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي طَلَبٍ. He said, therefore, you should fear Allah and make sure that your earnings is always done in the halal and the correct way. Because the risk is there. Why do you need to go and look for it through the haram means? And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, subhanAllah, as if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is with us. Because we hear these questions a lot. I have tried my best looking for the job, but the only job that is coming is these kind of jobs. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يحملنكم استفقاء الرزق أن تطلبوه بغير ما أحل الله فإنما عند الله لا ينال إلا بطاعته. He said, don't you ever be deceived by the delay in the risk, because Allah لا مكره له. He planned for everything and He fixed a time for everything. The time which Allah sponsor says you get that risk, you will never get it before. It's all about patience. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't get bored of waiting. You know, wait, be patient, and don't be deceived by the delay, which might lead you to go and look for the risk through the haram means, which is exactly the thing that is taking place in our societies. Many people have been waiting, and this is part of the test by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to test, you know, His creation to see who is going to be patient and who is not. He says, "Ma indallahi la yunal illa bita'ati," because what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cannot be achieved except through the righteousness. Allah might give you, you know, you might get a risk, and unfortunately through the haram way, Allah is going to remove the barakah and make it tragedy for you. You will wish that you never got that one. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قَيُّمُ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. It says, يُرْفَعُ إِلَيْهِ عَمَلُ اللَّيْلِ قَبْلَ عَمَلِ النَّهَارِ. I'm sorry, يَخْفِضُ الْقِسْطَ وَيَرْفَعُ. Al-Qist, some scholars mentioned that this is the mizan on the Day of Judgment. He is the one who is making the mizan of some people heavier and the mizan of others very low. Meaning, we have to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sincerity in whatever we do, so that on the Day of Judgment, that little act of worship that we do, Allah will value it. And this is really important, my dear brothers and sisters. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't you ever belittle a righteous deed. You remember the hadith that the author that I have been quoting of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari about that person who worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 70 years and then decided to take break of 7 nights. You know, subhanAllah, he died after the tawbah. When they weigh both the reward of 70 years, you know, together with the sin, you know, against the sins of 7 nights, those sins became heavier than this. What saved him? A piece of bread. He gave it. And if this is the case, Ya Rasulullah, please advise us on what to do to succeed in this life after we leave. The first thing the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told them, he says, "Usikum bi taqwa Allah wa sabr." He says, "فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعْشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيْرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا." SubhanAllah. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he summarized the path to success. He says, fear Allah. Fearing Allah means to practice His Sharia. It's as simple as this. Taqwallah meaning practice the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do what He asks you to do and stay away from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like. And listen and obey the leaders. They're right, they're wrong. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, listen and obey. As long as they don't ask you to go against Allah. If they ask you to go against Allah, you don't go against Allah. But you shouldn't fight, protest, go against, and all of these things that you might be hearing from time to time. If you go to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he always command the Ummah to listen and obey. Because without obedience, there is no way for a leader to succeed. He's going to command who? Nobody's obeying. How does he succeed? And don't you ever say that, no, they don't do this, they don't do that. That's between them and Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as if he knows what people are going to be saying afterwards, he says, give them their right. And he said, they will be committing sin in the future. They will take your right. They will do this and that. He said, give them their right. They told him, Ya Rasulullah, why can't we fight them? He said, no, don't do that. Give them their right and ask Allah to take your right from them. But he shouldn't resist in that way. So these are very clear. And I wish we would be clear about that and follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding this matter properly. So I guess the time for the adhan has arrived. So I will stop here, bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla. In the next class, I will complete this hadith and move to the next chapter. Barakallahu feekum, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. those things that I have mentioned, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said them in the hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. The first one, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la yanam wa la yanbaghi lahu an yanam. And the second one, qayyum as-samawat wal-ard. The hayyu qayyum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the caretaker of the heavens and the earth and whatsoever is in them. All of the creation, in fact. And the third one, yakhfidu al-qista wa yarfa'u. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate people in ranking and bring others low level. Or we refer this to the mizan, the scale that will take place on the day of judgment. That's number three. Number four, yurfa'u ilayhi amalu al-layli qabla amali al-nahar. The deeds of human beings are taken to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the morning and evening. And the last one is about the hijab between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his creation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it is a light. And if this light is to be removed by Allah, everything that the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala catches will be burnt. And that means everything will be burnt because Allah sees everything. Yeah, that means everything is going to be burnt. The second question talks about the da'wah. If a person is not capable of giving, hidayah is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but there are two types of hidayah. Hidayah to irshad and hidayah to tawfiq. Hidayah to irshad is what we're doing. You go and advise somebody to fear Allah, you go and tell him what to do. This is hidayah to irshad. You're guiding him, you're teaching him, you're telling him what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. This one is within our capability, and this is the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to do. From prophets all the way to the lowest person in the community. Rasulullah Azza wa Jalla, innama alayhim hidayatu irshad. Lasta alayhim bimusaytir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hidayatu tawfiq is based on giving tawfiq to that person to accept the hidayatu irshad. You might be calling him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been inviting his uncle Abu Talib. And he was almost going to succeed. And subhanAllah, this man agreed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He agreed with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he is not lying. But he just need to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. How do you know that he agrees that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not lying? The amount of the support he has been given Rasulullah, and he even was mentioning this support in his poetry when he says, Wallahi lan yasilu ilayka bi jam'ihim hatta wassada fi turabi dafina. In another place, says, لَقَدْ عَلِمُوا أَنَّ بْنَنَا لَا مُكَذَّبٌ لَدَيْنَا وَلَا يُعْنَى بِقَوْلِ الْأَبَاطِلِ. He was describing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not pay attention to useless things. And they know we never tried the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not a single time where he ever lied to us. That's mean he agreed that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not lying. But just to leave the religion of his poor parent, that was difficult. And the top criminal came at the last moment of his life, Abu Jahl. وَثَانٍ مَا فِي خَيْرٍ. They came to him and they kept on telling him, أَتْمُوتُ عَلَىٰ غَيْرِ دِينِ عَلَىٰ غَيْرِ مِلَّةِ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ. Would you agree to die upon a religion which is different from the religion of Abdul Muttalib? And subhanAllah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was almost going to succeed. He told him, يَا عَمْ قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ كَلِمَةٌ. وَحَاجُّ لَكَ بِهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. He says, uncle, please say la ilaha illallah. He said, I promise that I'm going to fight and do everything I can to make sure that you succeed on the day of judgment. I just want this one, because without, and subhanAllah, he is almost going to attain this success, and those criminals came to the place. Qadr. This is what tawfiq He's also show mercy to him. Yes. Going deep. From here, amount of this is. They will not like down when Allah sent Musa to him. Meaning my job part. The idea Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us